is not what it seems. Alex Tansari, Outside the Box.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's Wednesday, June 24th, 2009. Vital information for your survival in this crazy millennium that we're in now is coming your way because Rosalind Peterson is going to be with us at about 15 after from Northern California. Her website is californiaskywatch.com. We'll be getting an update on the Navy war game drills taking place over four states, and we'll be talking with Rosalind about some of the harassment that she's going through right now, indirect harassment, albeit, but harassment nonetheless, communication issues, abilities with her ability to get on the internet and communicate with others, emails getting bounced back, her phone not working. So we're going to be talking about that and why the Navy is so concerned about the information that Rosalind is sharing. And I'm not going to be afraid or concerned about any repercussions. A lot of this is just intimidation tactics such as that to prevent the information from getting out. So we'll talk about that very important update, and we'll talk about her trip to Washington, D.C., trying to wake up congressmen and women, some of which have never heard about the war games. With that, I want to remind you that this is the last day officially of Ardent Sentry 2009, a NORAD NORTHCOM care drill set to take place between June 18th and the 24th. So some of you out there in the Northwest and in other states are hearing the fighter jets up above the skies. And this is going to explain to you from the NORTHCOM's website partially what's going on, at least the information that they are disclosing, the admission that there's a drill going on. North American Aerospace Defense Command and U.S. Northern Command are planning to conduct a combined exercise June 18th to 24th that will incorporate several military exercises with a National Guard exercise. These linked exercises are referred to as Ardent Sentry 09. Events will take place in multiple venues across the country, including Iowa, Kansas, Oregon, Wyoming, and off the East and West Coasts. The exercise will allow several Department of Defense organizations and some federal and state partners to implement plans and respond to a variety of notional events. Notional. Historically, exercises like these have helped both DOD and other agencies review their processes and procedures and focus their future training efforts on closing gaps and identifying areas that need attention. Major AS09 venues include NORAD's Amalgam DART exercise involving air defense activities at Camp Rilea, spelled R-I-L-E-A, that's off the coast of Oregon. Also, the National Guard's Vigilant Guard exercise focused on civil support with major activities in Iowa and Kansas, and that's where the foreign troops, I believe, are involved. They are involved in this drill. Remember, this drill is separate from NLE 09, which is set to take place during the latter part of July. Interestingly enough, the Chinese and Russians have their own war game drill set for July where the United States is the enemy. And many of these drills were planned prior to these outbursts coming from North Korea, same North Korea that got weapons from Donald Rumsfeld back in 2000, perhaps other weapons since then. We also see this activity going on during the Clinton administration around the year 1994 as well. So we'll talk about that and much more over the course of the next several hours. Rosalind Peterson is our guest. She'll be with us shortly. Her website is californiaskywatch.com. Stay with me.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Thank you.
while the bulk of Americans are chasing their next slice of pizza, chasing the ice cream truck, something else is going on in aerospace, and we're going to be talking about that, as well as a number of other things. Rosalind Peterson is with us this afternoon. Rosalind, so good to have you back.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on your show today.
Well, this is important information that needs to be talked about, and I wish it was on some of the bigger shows, but we'll try to reach as many people as we can via this show. Tell us about what you've been working on. We had you on before to talk about these war game drills, maybe drills in the right way to put it, but different types of games, not just out in the ocean, but over land. And you are a leading activist, I think the leading activist, without a doubt.
Oh, no. I don't think so. Carol Van Strum from Oregon has been working real hard on this.
Okay,
too,
try to connect us. Connect us, and I'll talk with her. I just don't know her, but I know that you have a lot of information on your website. Give us an overview of what's going on here and what you've been doing to wake people up or people up in Congress, educate them.
Well, the United States Navy is going to initiate a warfare testing program starting in September of this year. As far as we can tell by the dates that they have been giving in the federal registers. And what we know is that they're going to be doing overland testing as well as along the shoreline and also out into the Pacific Ocean, all the way from Northern California, Oregon, and Washington. And they're expanding on the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, out to the Hawaiian Islands, and over to the Marianas Islands near, in other words, even further west than Hawaiian Islands and near the Philippines. And so they're already engaged in Southern California. They're engaged in part of Oregon. According to Congressman Henry Waxman from California, they're going to be engaging in the Gulf of Mexico as well. So the Navy is practicing now and expanding since 2006, as far as I can tell, on an exponential basis, as fast as they can put these out. They're expanding across the United States to cover both coasts. So what happened was, is when I found out about this on February 17th, I started to work out a way to kind of derail this project and to get some information out to the public. And so what I have recently done, besides put the information on my website, which is californiaskywatch.com, is I've also written articles for newswithviews.com. There will be a new one coming out probably next week because we're going to run it right away. But anyway, that's what we've been doing. And I've been working with Carol Van Strum and Carol Hiltner in Washington. Carol Van Strum is, actually has been providing me a tremendous amount of information and has been writing articles for magazines within Oregon itself. So she's been quite outspoken. And then there's a couple of other groups as well. And Northern California, Mendocino County especially, has been heavily engaged. We put up petitions on the website so people can sign and protest, and we have taken thousands of petitions, even hand-delivered them to Senator Wyden. We gave him all of the Oregon, some of the Washington, and some of the California signatures. These are not internet signatures. These are from real people. And we also delivered petitions, hand-delivered petitions to Washington, D.C., to Nancy Pelosi, Senators Boxer and Feinstein, and we have also delivered petitions, in other words, to other elected officials as well. A delegation of us from Connecticut and Mendocino County spent 1 week in Washington. One member of the Mendocino County delegation, Meredith Smith, spent 2 weeks. She owns the Mendocino Cafe in Mendocino, California. Spent 2 weeks lobbying in Washington. While we were all there, we covered and made sure that a color flyer showing whales and dolphins and our protest and some pamphlets and literature were delivered to every U.S. Senate office in the United States. In other words, we delivered them, hand-delivered them to every office going office to office. It was a monumental task, but we did get it done because we didn't want any U.S. senator to say that he or she didn't know about this Navy expansion across the entire United States to both coasts. And also, we delivered the same color flyer and handouts to two-thirds of all U.S. congressmen in Washington, D.C. while we were there, because it was the best we could do given the time frame, because it takes a long time to make your case and speak out on this issue. But we wanted to make sure that no one could say, except with a few congressmen whose offices we didn't make it to, that they didn't know anymore about what was happening and what the Navy was up to. The interesting part of this is that most of our elected officials are just talking about sonar damage to marine mammals, but they're not discussing the hundreds of toxic chemicals that are going to be used that will both float in from the Pacific and contaminate the ocean. They're not fighting the contamination from onshore testing or testing that's going to go on in the atmosphere above us. We aren't given any information about any classified programs, so we don't know exactly what they're going to be testing while they're above us in Oregon and Idaho and Washington and California and other areas back east. So this is it's a very questionable program, so we've decided to have a pitch battle and fight back. So citizens in four states, actually I'm in contact with people in Idaho as well, and citizens across the United States have begun to agree to help us as well. So we have people in New York and Connecticut and Kentucky and West Virginia and North Carolina who are also beginning to call in and ask, you know, if they can help as well. So because what's going to happen is if you don't protest now, they're going to do more overland and onshore and offshore testing without our consent and without proper public notification. So that's what we did. We were in Washington, D.C. from June 8th through the 12th, and then Meredith Smith from Mendocino County stayed until the 19th, lobbying in Washington, D.C. So we decided to take our case forward so that no one could say, well, we just didn't know about this.
Another thing the listeners might want to be aware of is sometimes drills like this or war games like this overlap with other drills. Like I sent the link to that NORAD drill, and then you look even closer at some of the other drills that are connected at the hip with that one, and you're dealing with sometimes foreign troops coming here, participating in drills where they're responding to some particular event. And there's mentions of it gets very Big Brotherish as well, surveillance, counter surveillance, things like that. And then for a variety of other reasons, for some reason, Portland is going through, it's being inundated. We have a break coming up, Roslyn, but with chemtrails, more so than I've ever seen before. So people that normally don't ask about those things or look at things like that are now looking at it because it's so thick, it's layered. And you can definitely see what some describe as the harp-like patterns, grid-like patterns, that are blasting through the clouds, whatever they've sprayed. And you look up at the sky, and there's all these different geometrical patterns and tic-tac-toe. Look, I want to get your thoughts on that, at least what we do know or suspect the available data at our fingertips. Roslyn Peterson is our guest. Check out our site, CaliforniaSkyWatch.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Theories and speculation, However, since you do talk about weather modification programs, and by the way, NOAA's listing what states they're involved in here on your website in this graphic.
But yeah. They
don't mention Oregon, which is weird because there is something going on here in Portland. And it's more intense than anything I have ever seen. And it's scary looking at just the energetic blasting energetic, not really sure how to verbally describe it, but waves of energy being blasted into the clouds or whatever's being sprayed, causing certain lines and whatnot in the sky. Your thoughts on this and any possible connections to the other war games?
First of all, KTVU Channel 2 came to my house to interview me about weather modification, and you can see it online. They were here July 2008. And if you go to KTVU Channel 2 and type in weather modification, you come up and you'll be able to see the clip that they did here about weather modification programs in California. But one of the things the science advisor did do is he did look at the photographs and the some of the videotapes that we had of jets leaving persistent jet contrails, and he did say that they were military. I think he was surprised when he saw them, but he definitely identified the planes as being military airplanes and was surprised about the fact that they would want to leave visible trails in the sky. And so I do know, in other words, he was a former pilot, and he graduated from the United States Air Force Academy, so he knows of what he speaks when he saw the videotapes. Secondly, I'm going to publish a new article. Actually, I'm sending it in tomorrow, but newswithyous.com will publish what I know about persistent jet contrails, how they change the climate, exacerbate global warming, how they impact natural resources. NASA studies will be available, or I should say are available, online at my new website, which is the agriculturedefensecoalition.org. That has about a third of my database on it. Another third will be added by Friday. And then it will cover 90% of my videotapes and pictures, and it will have on it by the end of this month almost my entire database. Probably less. There will only be about 4% that we won't have on by that time, and it will have about 90% of my still photographs that I took with real film, not doctored. And not, in other words, anything that was, fixed by anyone, because I actually have the real film and had it developed in order to get the pictures. So that's going up. And what I can say is that NASA's talking about man-made clouds produced by persistent jet contrails, talking about how it's really producing this water vapor. Water vapor is a greenhouse gas. It exacerbates global warming. It's cutting down on the amount of sunlight reaching the Earth, which disrupts the productivity of solar panels, electric cars. It's going to be disrupting photosynthesis, so your plants won't grow as well. And so all of that is going to be talked about in this article that will be on newswithyous.com. And thank you very much, because newswithyous.com is centered in Oregon, and have really published the articles on the Navy and are publishing articles on weather modification. So thank goodness for Oregon's newswithyous.com, and that's my punch for today. But so all of you can go in, use the search engine on the Agriculture Defense Coalition, and you can come up with my documents on weather modification and maps and petitions. California Skywatch is also going to carry current events and also documents and other information as well. But what I can tell you is that I'm not surprised that you're seeing more persistent jet contrails and unusual configurations and cloud, sky obscurations. I'm not surprised because people have been calling me from all over the United States with similar complaints. Southern California, Northern California, Shasta counties, Los Angeles counties, Fresno, all over. I'm getting calls now all the time, San Francisco Bay Area. And people are beginning to see this more and more and more. So I think that it's damaging our climate, changing our weather. NASA studies going back into the 1980s all show that this is a problem. And yet our elected officials aren't taking any action. They want us to believe that everything is normal and okay, but it's not. And lots of IPP studies, university studies, and NOAA and NASA studies are saying that this is not okay, but they're not reporting it, and the news media isn't covering it.
If you'd like to ask Rosalind a question, please give us a call at 866-841-1065. And this hasn't necessarily been the easiest thing for you, Rosalind. No one should be afraid to speak their minds at all. And there are certain intimidation things going on that happen to certain people when they get pretty close. Would you like to describe, you know, some of the, well, we were supposed to have you on last week, but you weren't able to make it. How come?
Well, what's been going on? It's been a very strange, but since I've tackled the Navy, and I began to write to them with public comments, starting somewhere in March, and then in April, when I did my last public comment on the 13th, now all of a sudden I'm disconnected when I'm talking on the phone at times. When I tried to contact you for a radio interview, I couldn't get through. I couldn't call out of Mendocino County. The phone was working, and there was no reason for me not to be able to call out, but I couldn't call out. Emails wouldn't come in or go out at that time. And I would have to try even to call out of my county at times. I've had to go through an operator. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. So I found that my phone is clicking and disconnecting me now when I'm talking. And the first time I tried to talk to Canadian radio program, couldn't get through. The same has happened to you. And we had to do it on the next interview on the spur of the moment because it was advertised and then I wasn't able to come on the show. So that's what's kind of going on. So I'm getting some disruption in telephone service, and I don't think it's not normal. It wasn't happening to me before, but now it's consistently, there are times when I'm talking and the phone just disconnects itself, and or other people are disconnected when they call me that they can't get through, even though there's nothing wrong with my phone per se. So I've had to sometimes use neighbors' phones and drive elsewhere in order to get some business conducted just because my phone refuses, whatever's going on with my phone is hampering my ability to do things. And also I've mailed off packages which have been returned to me. Even though they have the correct address, they're just returned to me for no reason. So I'm not sure exactly what's happening. It doesn't intimidate me. It irritates me. So I'm going to take it up with my U.S. senators and my congressmen sometime next week because this I've got to get put a stop to this happening because I think that this is a form of harassment, and I'm not I don't like it. And I think that all of us, whether we're protesting the Navy or talking about persistent jet contrails, or whatever subject we happen to be engaging in, I don't think that it's the business of the government to be disrupting communications, which I think is happening here because this has never happened to me before. And it's consistent enough that whenever I get on sensitive topics, I'm surprised that I've been on the phone this long with you because I've been cut off so many times before. So, but if I happen to be disconnected, that's why I may be disconnected, is that someone hung up the phone or disconnected my service or something.
Well, we're glad to have you with us today. And if anyone out there is listening, which no doubt they are also getting an education as well. We'll be back in a few, folks. 866-841-1065. Rosalind Peterson is our guest. For those of you out there listening, go do some research. CaliforniaSkyWatch.com. I mean, what's really going on out there above even the air that you breathe? Think about your children as well, your wives. Back in a few, folks. Stay with us.
Exploring the Matrix of Consciousness with Esoteric Action Radio. Sundays from 9 to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Only on the Oracle Broadcasting.
Always been this way. We've always lived this way. I don't care. Master here to protect me. Without knowing all the details of how we're at risk when they're doing war games above our heads. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, Roslyn, you say, has at least said something, though. What did they say?
Yes. They're in Salem, Oregon, and they wrote to the Naval Facilities Engineering Command Northwest with their concerns. And it's a five-page document that they wrote outlining their concerns, and the deficiencies. They outlined the deficiencies of, in other words, what they feel is the environmental impact statement by the Navy. And so they want, they don't know, the Department of Fish and Wildlife can't tell from reading the EIS where the inshore boundary is for each proposed training exercise. So they say that it would be difficult to determine what state impacts there were because the EIS is so obscure with regard to inshore boundary lines. And then it said, they said that their training debris, ordnances, cannon shells on the seafloor was inadequately addressed. And they said it was unrealistic, and they were talking about cannon shells with the depleted uranium, exercises that covered 10 square nautical miles. And so they said that if they used this density, it would be 400 depleted uranium shells per square mile per exercise. So there's a lot of things. They're recommending that the Navy reconsider its position with regard to sensitive habitat species and fisheries. And then it says marine environment offshore of Oregon has numerous areas of high-value habitats, a central fish habitat, habitat areas of particular concern, marine reserves, and important fishing grounds. And so they list them, and they say that these are all endangered by the Navy warfare program, and they want to make sure that those areas would be identified by the Navy and, you know, in other words, that what impact the Navy is going to have on those areas. And then they said that that the fishermen and the trawlers are at a significant safety risk from submarine operations, and the training debris could interfere with fishing operations. And those safety concerns are not adequately addressed by the Navy. And they're also talking about possible contamination of the marine environment and living resources, bioaccumulation up the food chain by hazardous materials present in Navy-generated marine debris, missiles, cannon shells, bombs, which would increase significantly under the Navy's preferred alternative. So they talk about the contamination, in other words, in this debris, and they don't feel that there's an adequate reporting system that has been developed by the Navy. And also, the Fish and Wildlife is opposing the continued use of ammunition containing depleted uranium in offshore waters because of the hazardous properties of depleted uranium. And also, they're also concerned about various habitats. Marine species that are endangered or threatened. So it's really interesting because they list here something that is happening we've had sea lions and birds in the last few months, and the sea lions just recently dying of starvation, going up on shore, just falling dead and dying of complete starvation because there weren't enough herring, anchovy, and sardines. And one of the things that the Fish and Game talked about here is it says that species are known or suspected of herring specialists like herring, sardines, anchovies, and there appears to be a significant uncertainty regarding the effects of mid-frequency active sonar. Well, could this be one of the things that's already happening because of their use of sonar, is that some of the marine mammals and the birds are starving to death because the migrating populations are disrupted now already from what the Navy is already doing. So they talk about that, and anyway, they talk and they talk about there was a lot of errors in the reports with regard to marine mammals. So I wanted to put that in, that your own Fish and Wildlife Service up in Oregon is definitely concerned about this Navy program and wants certain issues addressed. And I don't believe, unless we put pressure on the Navy, that those issues will be addressed.
Here is some additional information as well. There's another drill by the name of Trident Fury, which I've just discovered, which is associated with the Navy War Games and NATO. So if you Google Trident Fury, there is some information on that. Trident Fury 2009, which is scheduled for June of 2009 and dovetails with what is going on in the expanded Northwest Training Range. And so this is something that I've come across. Another thing that I've come across is this article by a lady by the name of Sarah O'Leary. Headline reading, coming soon to coastline near you, explosions. And she talks about stealth bombers leading into a multi-carrier strike group in formation. According to the U.S. Navy's plan to expand the Northwest Training Complex, ships, submarines, planes, and drones will test and train live fire ordnance from Sonoma County to the Canadian border. The U.S. Navy has big plans for a greatly expanding training and weapons testing operations off the North Coast and beyond. The proposed Northwest Training Range complex covers more than 126,000 square nautical miles along the coasts of California, Oregon, and Washington. By the way, this report came out in April.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of stuff that we don't know. It's very broad, I've noticed, the description of what really is going on. It's very broad, very simple, even though you did say, I mean, they've released how many pages? But still, there's still questions.
Yeah, there's many, many questions, and they use reports that are old and outdated going back to 1974. But I also wanted to say something that's really kind of interesting that came out in the Boston Globe, and this was an article on June 21st this month. And what they were talking about is that Martha's Vineyard, back in Massachusetts area, is the Navy is now out finding warheads and off of the coast. And so what's happening is where they used to practice years ago and had a bombing range, now all of a sudden on Martha's Vineyard and other areas, in other words, where the rich and the famous live, of course, they've had to close the beaches because they've got explosives and these munitions that are washing up, and they're exploding them. So there was an interesting article in the Boston Globe, and they said that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers was involved, and that they've even hired, in other words, other people, private contractors, to come in to help blow up these older munitions. Well, the thing is that if we put the Navy practices and has all these unexploded munitions and weapons and all that off our coast, all of a sudden the potential for them to come back and haunt us is very real, because the Navy didn't clean them up then, and the Navy has no intention now to clean them up off the floor of the Pacific Ocean.
Intense stuff. One more thing, and we have a break coming up. There's no definite end to this. Is there that we know of? It's just going to go on as long as the federal government, as opposed to the state government, and the state government would be the Oregon Fish and Wildlife, a separate, you know, separate jurisdiction, but as far as the federal government, however long, right?
Well, they're going to put it in for 5 years, and then they're going to just expand it, and then, you know, expand to more areas, and then what they're going to do is just keep it going. I mean, they're talking about permanent under, in the EIS, they're talking about permanent underwater items they're going to leave there for future use as well. So I don't think it'll ever stop. But who gave the Navy the right to go to war on our natural resources and our marine life?
Roslyn Peterson is our guest. Her website, CaliforniaSkyWatch.com. More information on the way. Stay with us.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Welcome to the second hour of Outside the Box. Open phone lines, 866-841-1065. Or locally, if you're in Texas, there's a 512 number. And the mothership station, main station, is in Texas. Center Command, central for OracleBroadcasting.com. That number is 512-904-8014. Roslyn, we have a break coming up again after this at the top of the hour. But more information, anything else also that we ought to be aware of, and is there a way that you see us as being able to even fight this at this point? Now that, I mean, aren't the comments closed? Comment period?
Public comments are closed, and my congressman, Thompson, actually took the position that since the comments were closed, there was nothing more we could do. Well, I object to the fact that, first, the United States Navy is not a dictatorship, and second, we the people have the right to voice our concerns and to put a stop to programs we don't like. And to say that just because public comment is closed that we no longer have a voice is absolutely impossible for me to believe, because I think that if we put enough public pressure, we call our elected officials, we sign petitions, we write letters, we protest, I think that they're going to have to do something different here. And I think unless we put a stop to it, we're going to then be subjected to one more expansion after another after another. When does it stop? And why should we be, and our marine mammals, be test subjects for the Navy warfare testing program? So I think that our voice has to really become more dominant, and that's why I'm going to be traveling up to Arcata and Eureka, California, and up north, because I really feel strongly that more voices are needed, and we need to speak up and say no. And our elected officials, you know, they're deferring to the Navy as if it's a god. And I got news for them. We, the people of the United States, have a right to redress our grievances under the Constitution to our elected officials, and they have a responsibility to represent us. And when it comes to whether they're going to represent the Navy or the people, they need to represent and protect us first from the consequences of these actions. And I think until we speak up and say no to this, and so this is what we here in Mendocino County and Carol Van Strom in Oregon and Carol Hiltner in Washington and others in Idaho all stand together and say we're not going to put up with this, and that we want these issues fully addressed, and we want congressional hearings in the U.S. Senate or the U.S. House on this matter to protect the public and our marine mammals from some of these programs, or we stop the funding for those programs, then I think that because this is not a dictatorship, and the Navy programs and other programs do not dictate to us. We are the people here, and under the Constitution, our elected officials are supposed to represent us in Congress and not abdicate their authority to some group that is not going to any group, actually, that is not going to be doing something in the best interest of the people and the marine mammals and the oceans and the environment. And you cannot have U.S. Senator Barbara Boxer by any stretch of the imagination, saying that she's, you know, for protecting the environment. And chairman of the Committee on the Environment, say nothing and do nothing. This is not acceptable to any of us here in California, and it certainly isn't acceptable as part of her duties as being chair of the Committee on the Environment. You cannot say that you're for protecting the environment on the one side and then turn around and absolutely be silent on these other issues.
We'll finish up with Rosalind here on the other side, 866-841-1065. And I would also recommend people see through the intimidation when they say, hey, we got a million of you on the terror watch list. Don't say anything or we'll call you anti-government, which is like Al-Qaeda, which they're pushing now. And I wanted to address that in the next segment, how we've got to understand they're doing this because they're desperate to hold on to the power that they have. Back in a few, ladies and gentlemen. I really do hear that, Rosalind, for some people. I don't want to get put on a list, or some family members might tell my friends when they go and they try to share info and tell them about their friend Alex when they go visit him and the stuff he's doing in Portland. They're like, oh, that's strange. You don't want to get too close to that guy. They're no doubt watching it. I get this stuff, you know. People really play these scenarios out in their head. I don't want to be close with someone or talk to someone. Perhaps I'll be photographed with him. I can't explain fully why I walk without fear, why I walk unarmed, why I don't have a gun, why I do all of this with my birth name, but I do. And if enough people, it's not about being like me, but being having that spirit, though, having that at least fearless attitude, if you get enough of that going on and people are intelligently trying to wage a revolution without fists and bullets and knives, but really an intellectual revolution. We're trying to change the way we live and the way we interact with government. If we had enough people doing that and working together, whether it be Christian, Muslim, atheist, Buddhist, New Ager, whatever, and bring all our issues together, the left, the people that hate the globalization aspect from the left and the right, if we can come together, a lot of stuff gets shipped. Your thoughts on all of this, not backing down and not giving into this deliberate propaganda that's being put out there, saying that people that question 9/11, for example, are Al-Qaeda. You know, they're saying stuff like that. So,
well, you can all, in other words, as long as the powers that be can divide you up. I mean, I was challenged for being unpatriotic by Congressman Thompson's staff person, who accused me of raising this because I was unpatriotic, and I said, certainly not. But I said, if your testing and your warfare is on us or on our, you know, the fishermen or on the marine mammals, this war has lost its meaning. War just becomes blowing up the whole earth just to sustain some war somewhere else. And this is ridiculous. And so I've had my patriotism questioned from time to time, but that's okay because I, you know, in other words, it isn't about my patriotism. It's about my right as a patriot in the United States to be able to speak my mind and to be free from harassment and to be able to, in other words, exercise my rights. And when people feel that they, you know, get stuck, in other words, if I say, well, you know, my son is tapped or, you know, whatever's happening to me, whether it is or not, who knows. But what happens is that if I say that I can't do anything and I hide in my house, eventually I become too scared to do anything. In other words, I become impotent for being able to raise my voice about anything. And the one thing that American citizens should be able to do is raise their voices and say no to things. And if you back down and you say, well, out of fear, but then out of fear, are you going to be going to your doctor and paying for medical bills because they're using white phosphorus, which blows inland onto your homes and your houses, and you breathe it, you get sick? You know, they're going to be using a lot of toxic chemicals in this program. You're going to be eating the fish, possibly, if there's any alive after they get done. So what happens is that, what are you going to do? Live in your house and be sick and panicked? Or are you going to step up and say, no, we can make a difference and we can make a change? And this is something that we all have to go through. And if we all are going to, you know, live in our houses and shudder, well, then the government wants that, because then they won't have anybody to protest their actions. And this is not what the U.S. Constitution is about. It's a living document that gives us rights. And unless we exercise those rights, we're going to lose them.
And in addition to that, we mentioned, alluded to this last time at the conclusion of the last interview, to be emotionally strong. I mean, it's a lot to deal with that reality that there's a larger secretive system above us. And a lot of people, you know, they can't deal with the fact that, well, I mean, their ego does not want them saying to themselves, I was wrong. I didn't know about this stuff. I thought the government was different and loving and like a big teddy bear that did all the stuff for us. I would have never thought they were engaged in things that were hurting our environment and causing problems for their own power grab, selfish gain. But I think it's important to get beyond that emotional, this is real, fear, and be objective enough, or as David Icke, my friend, says, change your point of observation, be the observer, and not identify overly with the whole fear of death part, because we need to keep our consciousness connecting to something higher or striving for something higher. And this is an era of time, Roslyn, where a lot of information is now being revealed about our government on so many different levels, from economy to military. I mean, this is, to a certain degree, an age of enlightenment, because there's an explosion of information that can help us change the world as we know it and help us document the things we've been saying for years, too, when it used to be a lot harder.
I think so, and it was interesting. I remember talking to one man where I lived, and when Bush first became president, and I said, now's the time to stand up and, you know, in other words, speak out, and he says, oh, no, he says, then I'll be a target, and he said, no, he says, we'll just wait, and then it'll get better, and I said, no, it's not going to get better unless we speak out. And so people don't want to put themselves out. They don't want to make the effort. They want to, you know, people call me all the time and say, well, the jets are here and the jets are there leaving these contrails, and, you know, where can I move? Where can I run? And I tell people, you're going to have to stand up and fight. You're going to have to stand up and say no. There is nowhere to go. And some people don't want to make the effort. So it's easier to be in denial and make no effort than it is to really stand up and protect your children and your grandchildren and your families. And I think that a lot of people are not willing to do that. They want someone else to do it. But unless we all stand together, it isn't going to happen.
Roslyn, I'm getting real tired of these fake men out there saying they're just going to run for the hills and ignore what's going on, but just run like a hill because their dad taught them to camp and fish when he was 9. But everybody's going to be up in the hills in those same woods at the same time. And we should be prepared, but I mean, everyone's going to be going to the same spot in Oregon, for example. Everyone's going to be running Mount Hood thinking they're going to be the only ones there.
Well, I can tell you that at Mount Shasta, the jets are hitting Mount Shasta just as hard as they are hitting Mount Hood, probably. And I told one man, and he said he was going to go, you know, go get a trailer and go live in the woods. And I said, well, the jet contrails are going over the mountains. I said, what woods are you going to, you know, live in that where this isn't going to be happening to you? You know, and so I said, look, you're going to have to find a different plan here. And, you know, people who say, well, we're going to go move somewhere so that we can, you know, live, you know, off the grid and hidden out. And I go, well, that's not the answer, because we all need to stand together, and this is going to happen to you even if you're hiding out somewhere. So I take exception with people who want to run away and say, look, it's time to stand and fight. We need better health, and we need not to have the Navy going to war on us.
Roslyn, thanks for coming on. Let's do this again in a month or so if you're around, and see what new information we may have.
Okay, it sounds great. Thanks.
Thank you, Roslyn. Roslyn Peterson, CaliforniaSkywatch.com is her website. Now you can join the conversation at 866-841-1065 with any other topics that you would like to discuss and share with the listening audience. I'm Alex Ansari. This is Outside the Box and the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Stay with me.
air off
we're talking about welcome to day great change coming to the planet. Many people your little boys and little girls. You heard your daddy, you heard your grandpa, and they would say things about the future and about China, and that they were aware of information then that used to be shared around the bar halls, the dining halls, the camping trips, the long chats by the fire with the uncle. I mean, it was a different time then. In my life, I've met many women that have been drawn to me because I remind them of their father or their grandfather, the old days when things like this were talked about. And today there's not enough talk like that about the real situation that America is in. So these conversations will continue because it's a primitive drumbeat that we feel in our hearts of the danger that is imminent, the danger that's also already here. We're already living in a technological control grid, and it's not a matter of them not telling us yet. Actually, they kind of are incrementally now. The New World Order is showing us a version of itself that it wants us to see. It's uncloaking itself, but a good New World Order that's there to groom our hair and pet us like we're some sort of a pet. Well, I'm not anyone's pet, and I'm not a slave either. And a lot of people feel the same way. And when people subject themselves to abuse, whether by the part of the government or by the part of a employer, the soul suffers. It's no surprise why it's a big time drinking culture in our society, in our world as well, but in particular, developed nations living this industrial nightmare get it a little bit more than some other areas in the world. They have their own issues with drugs and alcohol, but the way that we are living and these illusionary walls that separate us, this is why people are in pain. And when people are in pain and they're not feeling well, then they medicate themselves. And most people medicate, very few people in our society don't medicate themselves on one level or another. Are some of you in that category of not medicating yourself or yourselves? Some. But many of us are in the category, including me at times, of being in that box of individuals that do maybe tie on a few just to deal with the stress. And I know it's considered okay and a part of being an American. And some people, I mean, they're mostly concerned about that freedom to get drunk more than any other. It isn't healthy, and it's going to get worse. When that gets worse, other problems get worse. It compounds the problems that were already pre-existing. It doesn't remove them. It simply amplifies those problems, strengthens those problems. There's something that a listener sent. Thank you, Josh in Rhode Island. And I'm going to read it to you now. And we're going back to the year 1993 with this one. It is described, it was published in theatlantic.com. It has been described as a fictional essay that has been circulating within the Pentagon for a number of years. This was published January 1993. When it was actually written, I don't know. It might have been written, Josh, a couple years before 1993. That's just when this particular report here was published, printing this fictional essay by Thomas E. Ricks. And if you know the exact date, maybe it was January 93, but it might have been earlier. It is entitled Colonel Dunlap's Coup. And this is a fictional story that I'm about to read. It's a little bit long, but I think we'll get it done. And this whole, I haven't read it yet. I've scanned it, and I'm going, this is very interesting. What it is, it's another example of
whether it be someone being psychic or someone having inside information or who knows, but basically detailing what the future could look like. And the first sentence of the first paragraph is, it is the year 2012.
The age of Aquarius, age of...
No, it is the year 2012. That is the first sentence in the first paragraph. So I'm going to go ahead and read this report, fictionalized essay that's been circulating within the Pentagon that offers a blunt warning on several fronts. And this is by Thomas E. Ricks, entitled Colonel Dunlap's Coup, dated January 1993, although it may have been written earlier. It is the year 2012. The American military has carried out a successful coup d'etat, jailed and awaiting execution for resistance to the coup. A retired military officer writes to an old comrade explaining how the coup came about. So begins a treaty entered last year in the National Defense University's chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Strategy essay competition titled The Origins of the American Military Coup of 2012 and written by an active duty Air Force officer. The essay went on to be selected as one of two winners of the competition. The author, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Dunlap, he is the author, was honored by General Colin Powell at the awards ceremony. That would be Bohemian Grove Colonel Powell. Just because he's half black does not exclude him from invitation to the elite summer camp, Bohemian Grove, which is actually coming up. Looking back from the vantage point, supposedly 20 years in the future, Dunlap writes that after years of being handed the tough jobs the rest of the government seemed incapable of handling, the military simply decided to step in and run the show. Like all science fiction, Dunlap's essay is really about the present. His coup entices the reader to his real subject, the worrisome drift of the U.S. military into civilian affairs. Faced with intractable national problems on one hand and an energetic and capable military on the other, Dunlap's condemned prisoner warns, it can all be too seductive to start viewing the military as a cost-effective solution. We made a terrible mistake when we allowed the armed forces to be diverted from its original purpose. The prisoner sees a kind of inevitability to the coup amid rising crime, failing schools, a stagnant economy, and a gridlocked political system. The can-do U.S. military stood out in a no-solution society. Having remade themselves in the aftermath of Vietnam, the armed forces emerged from the Gulf War as America's most and perhaps only trusted arm of government. And so it was that the military was given the hard task that had defeated the civilian side of government. By 1991, the Defense Department was spending $1.2 billion a year on drug intervention. Although they bring the drugs in. The military was also becoming heavily involved in education, as they are today. Abroad, the U.S. military had jumped into humanitarian missions, so they say, in Bangladesh, the Philippines, and northern Iraq. From there, recounts the prisoner, it was only too easy for the military to begin taking over environmental cleanup jobs, providing air transport to regions abandoned by bankrupt airlines, and further expanding its vast medical system into civilian health care. Sound familiar? We'll continue after this, my friend. Stay with me.
Thousands of additional uniformed men and women set to be trained by 2011. They'll serve as a response to a possible mass terror attack or civil unrest following an economic collapse. So how concerned are Americans about this?
20,000 more troops here in the U.S.?
I have not heard of that. It just isn't right to have the military guarding the interior of the country. Seems like a dangerous power grab.
I think that would be...
Yeah, really?
Unreasonable. Policing your own
people. It also
sounds like we're in Afghanistan.
Ridiculous. Most Americans... Hey, I want to tell you about SurvivalCenter.com. Family preparedness and survival skills. America's premier preparedness center. In continuous operation since the early 1970s, Supplier Family Preparedness Health and Survival Supplies. They have the knowledge and expertise. They've got preparedness DVDs that are 6 hours long. Call them, say Alex Hansery sent you, 1-360-458-6778. That's 360-458-6778. It is time to get prepared. In light of the information that we have about where the economy is going, where the military is going, and what they're up to. And so you want to check out survivalcenter.com. And while you're there, I mean, it goes from grain mills to books by Lindsay Williams, other documentaries, cookware, stainless steel, consultation for your business, for your home, how to get prepared, camping supplies, thousands of book titles, bird flu masks, swine flu masks, all different types of things, 360-458-6778. In addition, if you're interested in trying some super fruit, I know there's some super food, green super fruit out there, but super fruit, Monavie, the Monavie juice blend, just click on the banner over at alexansery.com. It's got some amazing benefits. I've actually already had 2 or 3 bottles. I have 2 left. I'm looking at them right now. And when I take that stuff, well, let me just say my body changes in a number of ways. So it's a good thing in terms of your energy level, in terms of other things as well, your thinking capabilities. It's some real good stuff. We're going to go back to what I was reading earlier in just a couple moments. Right now, I'm going to go ahead and bring on Mo. Mo in Oregon, hello.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call. And excellent show with Rosalie and Peterson. And bottom line is that Iran situation is bloody coup against the Iranian. And this has been done, has a signature of the 1953 coup against Dr. Mohammad Mossadegh, and CIA and MI5, MI6 involved in it. And but I don't understand because Ahmadinejad is their agent. So that's why they made a coup to bring him up so they can attack Iran and bring World War III right at your door.
Very important point.
That's why. Otherwise, why when Obama betrayed Iranian demonstrators? Why Obama silent? Why Obama finally said something like play games, you know? Why, I mean, he's not condemning the mass killing. Neda, we love you. Neda that was killed by the terrorist government of Iran and the Basijis and Revolutionary Guard. And now they say, no, that snappers was from Mujahideen Khalq or MKO. They are the ones who killed Neda. So they're putting the blame on this another opposition group, which is very strong too. And so you see what I'm saying?
I want to read something. Yes, I do. By Paul Joseph Watson, titled Today. The horrible irony to arise out of the riots and protests in Iran is that many neocons and phony conservatives and their unified effort to enthusiastically embrace the Anglo-American establishment's agenda for regime change are cheerleading for a brutal thug who directed a terrorist campaign that killed hundreds of U.S. Marines in the 1980s. This again proves that slack-jaw neocon twits, ditto heads for phony conservative media whores like Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, and Glenn Beck have no loyalty whatsoever to America, but only to the corrupt power structure which they like to believe they are a part of. And so we're talking about Mir Hussein Mousavi. He's known as the Butcher of Beirut. He's the former Prime Minister of Iran who directed the bloody attacks on the U.S. Embassy and Marine Corps barracks in Beirut in 1983. So he's being sold by the media and hailed by neocons as an avatar of Iranian democracy right now. But he was also fingered for the 1988 truck bombing of the U.S. Navy's Fleet Center in Naples, Italy, that killed 5 people,
including the first Navy woman to die in a terrorist attack.
Exactly, indeed. Absolutely, I attest to that because I have, I have studied many monitoring all the Iranian satellite TV stations and other radio stations, etc., newspapers. I mean, yes, you are right, and he himself is studied in United States of America, and he is graduated from USA. So he's also a CIA asset, and so that's why. How come they haven't captured him yet? But then we see there's some CNN actually you showing that at the middle of night they go like 10 of revolutionary and Basijis and plain clothes go to the house of this guy and capture two guys and show that point blank. At one time he shoot one of the guy, but then they arrest him like a goat. I mean, put him all chained up and put it on unmarked guard, and probably it's like an Operation Valkyrie that Hitler, Nazi Germany generals did. They made a coup against Hitler, but the coup was unsuccessful. So, I'm so upset on Obama. I'm upset all Iranians are killed for nothing. You know, at least if they kill, I mean, I know General Trujillo of Dominican Republic, 1930 to 1961, but people fight from the day one until, although he killed a lot of people. And in The Time of Butterfly is another movie that it shows General Trujillo. Finally, he was assassinated in 1961. Then people come into the streets and give sweets and chocolate to each other. And then those people who gave the martyrdom for the country of the Dominic, they got the position within the government.
I just like to line up a whole bunch of people together alongside a road, and we'll all just go, Obama! To the mindless Portland, as you see, Mo, Obama worshippers that will follow him to the grave if he commands it. Some will go, wait a minute, death is bad, destruction bad, euthanasia bad, and some others will go, but it's the new vision for the world. We're a virus. We just have to die. Oh, Obama, save me. Obama, Obama, oh, master, master, hit me, baby, one more time.
Exactly, indeed, you know, and Obama himself is the puppet of the puppet masters. And then how can you, I mean, same thing happens to Iran will happen here. And so that's why people need to watch everything closely, what happens to Iran, because
yeah.
We are not far away from that. I mean, this much I can tell you, there are red lists, there are blue lists and yellow lists. Yellow list, those 90% who are watching football and soccer and they have prostitution, etc. So they don't they don't even care.
Yeah, those people will be easy for them to make ground beef out of, ground meat, yeah.
Right, exactly. Then blue list and red list are the ones. Blue list go to the FEMA camps, and the red list will be the same way that they show in the TV. They come in the middle of night, they capture them and take them to unmarked cars, and or basically shoot them. And we see it in the CNN with the clip. So what that tells you? Tells you that, hey, this is not far away from Iran. We are not far behind Iran. Iran is a little bit forward, more forward than us. But so people need to watch it and realize it.
And what you're saying is true. I have to change my language, though. Instead of say they will do this and they will do that and they are going to do this, they would like to do this and they would like to do that, and they have these lists and they have this vision. We have to try to stop them in their tracks, even if we don't know how to do it. We've got to strengthen our will. So it's not they are going to do this. I'm going to start being a stickler for how even I word things. Or it's going to happen, but they want this to happen.
Exactly, indeed.
Let's think about the law of attraction as we speak about the New World Order. Mo, thank you for your call. I'm going to let you go because we have another call right after you. Last segment coming up, 866-841-1065. I'm sure we can squeeze one more in.
Pull back the curtain to expose the matrix on Axiom Radio with Rob Chowder and Joel Nissen. Weekdays at 7 p.m. on the one and only Oracle Broadcasting Network.
We want your soul.
It's really at the time when all of us have got to start talking louder than ever.
The engineered implosion of the economy.
The rapid speed of, if you like, globalization.
And now they're going to leave us holding the entire bag, not to bail them out, but to get us into greater debt.
This manipulation now, quite blatant, of the financial markets is taking us in that direction of a world government, world army, world central bank, world currency, world microchip population.
But it's always been this way, the children say, walking around adult bodies with snot dripping down their nose. It's really sad. Dave in Massachusetts, thanks for calling in today.
Oh, Alex.
Hello. 3,000 miles away, Dave. Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, fine, Alex. Hey, do you know, Alex, for the longest time I wasn't able to get through to Oracle, and I didn't even try for, for several, 2 or 3 months now, and just for the heck of it, I figured I'd try it again, and I got through. But if I'm not mistaken, that was the previous caller. I got through in the middle of the call, but wasn't that Mo from Oregon?
Yeah, Mo from Oregon.
Yeah, Mo from Oregon. Yeah, it was good to hear Mo. I haven't heard Mo in the longest time, like on RBN. The last time I heard Mo, and it kind of intrigued me. He called in when Dr. KKK was a guest on Rick Adams' show. And that Dr. KKK, if you don't know who I'm referring to, is this character, Kasim. He's going by the name Kasim Kareem Khalil, Dr. K. I call him Dr. KKK, you know. But the last time I heard Mo, he called in and he was upset with this Dr. K and everything, and I don't know, Dr. KKK was Rick's guest or something, and Rick just cut Mo right off and everything, and wouldn't let Mo speak his piece and everything, and then I never heard Mo ever again on RBN. So I've been listening to RBN, you know, for the last year and everything. And I was wondering whatever became of Mo and everything. So I don't know whether he just stopped calling RBN or whether they banned him.
He's over here.
Yeah. So it was great to hear. It was great to hear Mo. I'm sure he has a lot of insight. Like, I just heard the tail end of his call, but I'm sure he has a lot of insights to what's going on over in Iran. That's almost like his specialty, Iran and the Middle East.
Being Iranian kind of does that to you.
Oh, well,
you see, the point I want to get out is because I don't know how much you know about me, or if you know me at all, or if you've followed my work. But I'm of darker skin, too. And what I've realized is the RBN crowd is not of the darker skin breed. And I've done shows on RBN before, but they also have white supremacists with their shows on. Here's the deal, caller, Dave, is that this movement, if you can even call it that, is not about whites. It's much larger. And I'm looking forward to the day where more people of color are a part of this anti-New World Order movement. And it's even bigger than a movement, though. It's actually, to me, a spiritual one, because we're trying to become more conscious, too, as human beings, more loving human beings, less angry, warlike, causing destruction. That's where the New World Order wants to take us. And so I've had major struggles in talking with people of color, whether they be black or Hispanic or Afghan, for that matter, which is where my dad's side is, because most of them are sheep just like everybody else. So this whole movement that we're in encompasses everybody. In fact, it includes those people more so than Americans, because it's their countries that are being bombed. But they come here, a lot of them, and keep their mouths shut, like my dad and other relatives, which I've denounced on air publicly. I denounce all answeries out there for lack of having a voice or using their voice, because they're cowards.
You know, but that's not unique to Ansari's or Nagel's, the white Anglo-Saxon side. My grandfather, World War II vet, he's the type that'll bend over for Bush and say, oh, that's beautiful when he gave his speeches. Oh, just screw me again. So I found, you know where I'm going with this. And so that's the frustration I've had with some RBN hosts and some other hosts.
Well, I know what you're saying, Alex. Like a couple of things come into my mind. Just something just off the top of my head. But there's this character, Keith from Indiana, and he's as racist as he can be. He thinks the only people that are God's children and everything are white people. If you're not 100% white or something, he accuses you that person of not being an Israelite.
Every culture does this too. That's the thing. It's not just the whites. It's those Afghans too. Oh, Alex, you're overly Americanized. You're not like us. I got that when I was a kid. It's like, what planet are you people on? I don't hate you because you're Afghan, but wow, you people are stupid. My God. And they were really all pushing the Muslim stuff down my throat. It's like, get a clue. I was reading about Buddhism and not being attached and going, oh, you know, why don't we just love each other and let this hatred go? But they were just as crazy as everybody else in the Midwest seems to be half the time. Humans are crazy, crazy people.
Now, this doctor KKK that Mo was trying to take to task, he's really degenerating. Now, lately, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but now, you know, if somebody, Alex, says something like that the Mossad or something had foreknowledge of 9/11, I have no problem with that. I don't even have a problem if I say, hey, you know, I think elements of the Mossad were complicit in 9/11, But you know, this Dr. KKK has reached a point now that he's just coming right out and blurting out the Jews. The quote unquote, the Jews blew up the World Trade Center. The Jews blew up the Twin Towers. Well, I get deeply offended at that because all through the 70s I was a New York City cab driver. And I used to drive around wonderful Jewish people all the time. You, obviously, a New York City cab driver drives around a lot of Jewish people and everything. And you know, to me, when Dr. KKK says the Jews blew up the World Trade Center, the Twin Towers, so I'm Irish American, Alex. But to me, it would be like some idiot saying that the Irish are responsible for the death of Mary Jo Kopechne. Now, you're a young fella. I don't know if the name Mary Jo Kopechne means anything to you, but that was the poor young lady that died in that tragic episode with that drunken senator that we have from the state, Teddy Kennedy. But, you know, it would be like saying, hey, the Irish are responsible for the death of Mary Jo Kopechne. This is deeply offensive when this Dr. KKK says the Jews blew up the Twin Towers, you know, but this is the kind of...
Yeah, we don't want to be associated with that, but don't you think... We got about 2 minutes left, sir. Don't you think it's interesting how the video is going? People are questioning 9/11, are white supremacists, and see they're creating that association, and all of a sudden now these talk show hosts are popping up out of nowhere. What is John Stottmiller thinking by allowing some of the stuff to go on? I don't think he's a part of a conspiracy, but I think his judgment is very, very poor.
Yeah, now Dr. KKK's pet theory, of course, is the no planes theory. He pushes that conspiracy theory. But he says all these things as if they're facts. In fact, he actually uses the facts. He'll say, these are all facts. These are all facts. And, you know, he doesn't present any proof at all, Alex. He presents absolutely no proof, and he keeps saying all these things as if they're absolute confirmed facts. To me, you know, I'll tell you, Alex, just like this guy that James von Brunn that shot up the Holocaust Museum, I'm suspicious about this Dr. KKK. While this hate crime legislation is pending and they're trying to ramrod this hate crime, this hate speech and legislation through Congress, and here you got this jerk Dr. KKK saying the Jews blew up the Twin Towers and everything. I mean,
Dave, will you call back another day and we'll continue talking about this because we're out of time, but you're right, we got to be aware of it. And the thing is, we're so open with terms of free speech that anybody can call, like Rick Adams' show, and they might sit there and have a dialogue for a long time. So even though we're open, we got to be aware that some people are going to try to infiltrate and push their reality on us.
Yeah, so thanks. I'm so happy I can get... I'll be honest with you, Alex. I didn't... you know how doubt creeps into human beings. By our very nature, we tend to be give way to like doubts and stuff and everything. And I didn't know whether it was intentional and I was banned from Oracle or whether it was a technical snafu. But all I can say is I'm very happy I can get through to Oracle because I really liked Lee Rogers and Josh Reeves. In fact, I liked Josh so much I was going to send him my only copy of The Curse of Canaan. But I was never able to get an address, and the RBN people told me that they had...
Yeah, exactly. And you can hear Josh. He's on the 4 hours before I am, and you can call him. You can also go to the chat room. You can directly get a hold of him, perhaps even now if he's still around in the chat room. Dave, thanks for calling in. We will see you tomorrow. Join me tonight, 5 o'clock, It's a Beautiful Pizza, 34th and Belmont. If you live in Portland, I'll be speaking publicly in T-minus 2 hours' time. See you then. That's right, folks. I live this stuff 24 days, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.